In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. You know how the lectionary works. You know, lectionary, that list of readings that we have that guide us through. We have a list of readings for each Sunday, and typically the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading go together. And then the epistle, a Greek word for letter, it just is leading us through one of the letters of the apostles, sometimes the book of Revelation, but leading us through just in a series. I want to talk today about the theme of the Old Testament and the Gospel and how that relates to the epistle that we have. The epistle is about the resurrection of the body. And the Old Testament story is a story about Joseph, who was, his brothers were going to kill him, and then they decided not to kill him, but rather to sell him into slavery, and how he comes to forgive his brothers. And then Jesus commanding us to forgive. And how can we do it? Well, there's a clue, I think, in the resurrection of the body. So let me connect these dots. Forgiveness, radical forgiveness, is one of the absolutely most distinctive things about the Christian religion. For most of the world's people, for most of the world's time, and still very, very powerfully in our own time, and increasingly so as the memory of the Christian proclamation is forgotten in the old Christian homelands, radical forgiveness, such as is outlined in the Scripture, such as is outlined in the Bible, such as is commanded by Jesus. We have it in the Gospel today. We have it in the prayer that he taught his disciples. Pray like this. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, how many times shall I forgive? Seven times, I say to you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. A big number, in other words. And my dear departed Brooklyn mother once said to me, she was a great observer of church life, she was, and she once said to me when she thought there was a bit of unfairness in the air, she said, I know, you know, he says, Father, forgive them, they know what they know not what they do, but how about these SOBs know exactly what they're doing? And I said, yes, Mother, them too. Right? How's it possible? How's it possible to forgive the murder of children? We're reading about that now. Many people have suffered grievous, real, serious harm that has left lasting consequences. And they've been injured by people who have not the least glimmer of penitence and remorse. How is it possible to forgive such people? Yet we're commanded to forgive. We're given the example of forgiveness. Jesus, while the nails are being driven into his hands, is saying, Father, forgive them. How is it possible? We know that if we could forgive, we would shed ourselves of a very great burden. We know that bitterness has a way of coloring everything, and even having physical consequences. But how is it possible to manage such forgiveness? Well, the short answer is it's not humanly possible. It's not humanly possible. It's not naturally possible. It's supernaturally possible. It's possible by the grace of God and with God's help. And it is especially possible by coming under the power of the resurrection. And the resurrection is a resurrection of the body. St. Paul is expositing today in the portion that we have from the letter to the Corinthians his great teaching about the resurrection. The resurrection forgiveness. They're right at the heart of the Christian faith, and they go together. I said last week that the hope of the resurrection is not a hope for survival. It's not a hope of some portion of what it is to be a human being survives in some way after death. The vision of the resurrection, the promise of the resurrection, the proclamation of the resurrection of the body. It's in the Apostles' Creed. We believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. The proclamation of the resurrection and the resurrection of the body is a proclamation that God means to do with us what he has done with his Son, and that is to raise us from the grave and to raise everything that pertains to what it is to be a human being. It's not the survival of some piece of a human being. It's the transformation of the whole person. And that includes the body. And so St. Paul is teaching about the body in this portion of his first letter to the church in Corinth. And he's answering, he says, but some say, how are the dead raised? And I can just hear the conversation that's going on because he says, you fool. So I suspect that the how are the dead raised was said to him in a mocking tone. Okay, Paul, how are the dead raised? Let's explain this to me, will you? And he said, well, it's like this. Pay attention. You have something that's very dead looking. A grain of wheat. You bury it in the ground. You would not guess from this seed what would spring up from the seed's grave. But from it will come first the green shoots and then the golden grain. So it is, he says, with the resurrection of the body. Sowed in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sowed in mortality, raised in immortality. Sowed a fleshly body. Well, what does that mean? Among other things, the flesh for St. Paul is the whole human person in rebellion, the God-forgetting, God-rebellious human person. That's the flesh. But the body will not obey ultimately in Christ. The body will not obey the will of the flesh, but the Spirit. The body will be at the service of the Spirit. The body will be raised up, and it will have a capacity to fully receive God's life-giving Spirit. And through the Spirit to be fully received, fully conformed into Jesus Christ, into the form of Christ. Our whole Christian life is a life being conformed to Jesus Christ. St. John says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we shall be like him. So we'll have resurrection bodies, mysterious, both like and unlike the body that we have now. If you want to read an imaginative exploration of this, I recommend to you heartily C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce. The great divorce that's being talked about is the divorce between heaven and hell. And in that imaginative, and it's suggestive, it's illuminative, it's imaginative. In that imaginative book, when the newly dead get to heaven, they have a problem. The grass hurts their feet because they're not real enough. They're going to get more real. The life of the world to come is not a less real life, it's a more real life. The body that we shall have is not a less real body, but a more real body. Behold, I tell you a mystery, says St. Paul. Now, what does this have to do with forgiveness? How is it possible to forgive? It's not naturally possible to forgive. The old Adam, the old man, the old human being, doesn't forgive easy. He keeps grudges. From generation to generation. He's weighed down by bitterness and hatred. In Christ, when we're baptized, the old humanity is put to death. We die with him on the cross that we might be raised up again. And everything about us raised up. And already, in the life that we're living now, in our Christian life, as we use the ordinary means of grace, as we come here week by week, as we read the scriptures, as we say our prayers, as we enjoy the fellowship and the Holy Spirit of other godly people, as we walk, as the prayer book says, in such good works as God hath prepared for us to walk in, we're being changed. Behold, says St. Paul, if anybody is in Christ, they are new creation. The old has passed away. And behold, the new has come. We're being changed. We're being transfigured. We're being transformed. Ultimately, we will be completely transformed. But even now, we're being transformed. Here's how I would put it. The golden grain will come. But even in this life, we begin to see with faithfulness, we begin to see the green shoots. Every congregation I've had, there have been people in that congregation, and they're the old person, the old humanity, the old man, the old Adam is passing away. They're getting old, they're getting frail, and the new Adam is becoming more and more evident in them, and they're lit from within. And their physical presence is a different kind of presence. How is it possible to forgive? It's possible to forgive if you have a new heart, if you have a new body, a resurrection body. Now, the seed of that body was planted in you when you were baptized. Of course, the seed has to be nurtured. Baptism is the beginning of the Christian life, not the substitute for it. But the seed of that was planted in you. You, by the Holy Spirit, were regenerated. You were recreated. The process of transformation was begun. And even the grace, even to cooperate with that, we need to cooperate with it, but even God gives us the grace to cooperate. But if we do, the green shoots will begin to appear. And how can we forgive? We can forgive if we get a new heart and a new mind. Now, one of the Old Testament texts, and you'll hear it at the great vigil of Easter, that we read right up close, we associate it with baptism. As we're getting ready to baptize people, we read this scripture from the Old Testament, from the prophet Ezekiel. God says, my people, they have stony hearts. Their hearts are hard like a rock towards me. Their hearts are hard like a rock toward their brothers and sisters. I'm going to come myself, and I'm going to take away their hearts of stone, and I'm going to give them flesh, hearts of flesh, tender hearts, warm hearts. Hearts that are on fire. You can see it when you go up to the altar, look in the floor. Hearts that are on fire, the heart of Jesus Christ on fire with love for his Father and with love for his brothers and sisters. If you go to the gym and you exercise, you'll get a new body. If you don't exercise, you'll get a kind of a body too. If you exercise the Christian faith, you'll get a new heart. You'll also get a new mind. How are we to forgive? We have to have a new mind. St. Paul says, have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We pray when we have our Christian education events that the mind of Christ would be formed in us. How are we going to be able to forgive? We're going to be able to forgive because we have new thoughts. Habitual thoughts blaze pathways in the brain. That's the problem of addiction. It's possible to break that. It's possible to blaze new pathways, but you need exercises to do that. I've said before that about the Eucharist that it appears to me to be like what the therapists do with people who have been severely injured. They have to teach them to crawl again. They have to teach them to walk again. When we come to the Eucharist, we're being repatterned. We're being reformed. Our bodies, indeed, are being made different. That's why worship has to be more than a talking shop. It has to be embodied. If we are exercising the Christian faith, we will think new thoughts. There will be new pathways blazed in our brain. We will have a new mind. So how do we forgive? Well, first of all, forgiveness is simply a decision of the will. We have to ask God for grace to fulfill the commandment that the Lord gives us, to forgive as we've forgiven. It's at first a matter of the will. You don't have to feel like it. You probably shouldn't feel like it. And it's a very bad and unhealthy thing to try to make yourself feel like it. But what you do is you pray for the grace to do it, and then you take advantage of the ordinary means of grace and exercise the fundamentals of Christian living. Worship, scripture, prayer, good works, fellowship with godly people. And over time, organically, you will become overwhelmed with God's mercy, grace, forgiveness, and bounty extended to you. How is Joseph able to forgive his brothers? Because God has worked on him a long time. How will we be able to forgive? Because God has worked on us a long time, and we've put ourselves in the place where God can do that work in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's possible to forgive. It's possible to know the lightness of being forgiven and forgiving people. It's possible for that. It's possible by the exercise, the assiduous exercise of the Christian, the fundamentals and basics of the Christian life. And it's possible how? Well, I can do all things through him who strengtheneth me. And not I, but Christ worketh in me. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.